The Strait of Hormuz. Is it open? Is it closed? What is the decision of your government regarding the Strait of Hormuz?
Yeah, the Islamic Republic of Iran has always respected its commitments regarding free navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. We have always tried to provide security, actually, when it comes to the navigation in the Strait of Hormuz. But you know, and also everybody knows, that nowadays we are in a war with two regimes, United States of America and also the Zionist regime. And actually, if there is any limitation, and also if there is any obstacle in the free navigation in the Strait of Hormuz these days, is due to the situation that we are facing. And the main cause and the main problem come through the United States and the Zionist regime and the war that we are facing. So this is the situation that we are facing. And the history of Iran shows that Iran has always tried to provide security in this region. But by the way, if anybody is going to be blamed, that's the Israeli regime and the United States, that they have waged the war. And the war has its own consequences, actually. Our people now, the civilians, the innocent people, actually are dying as martyrs due to the airstrikes of these two regimes. You have heard that just 2 days ago, more than 160 innocent school girls have lost their lives. So those innocent people, you know. But they shouldn't talk regarding actually the Strait of Hormuz. You know, this is a war. And but by the way, the consequences are huge. And they should bear the responsibility for that.
But what responsibilities for what? I'm not sure I understood. I asked if the Strait of Hormuz is closed, partially closed, and will you continue to keep it closed? Can you give me an answer on that?
As I have told you, that actually what we are witnessing in the Strait of Hormuz, the problems there regarding the free navigation, is due to the war that has been imposed against the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is not Iran that actually causing the problems there. So that those problems are arising from the war that has been imposed by those two regimes, actually. So that's what I can say.
Here's a very important question. Some people would say the spiritual leader of Iran is to the Shias, who are some hundreds of millions all over the world, as important as the Pope to many Catholics. How would you characterize the killing of the Supreme Leader and his family by Israel and the United States? What impact will it have in your country and perhaps in other parts of the Shia world?
You know, that the assassination and martyrdom of the supreme leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran is a heinous crime. You know, that the supreme leader was the highest official of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And it was the act that they have committed, the act of assassination, actually is against the international law and the charter of the United Nations. So this is by sure. I know, and everybody know, that the United States and the Zionist regime are not those regimes that are going to be in compliance with their obligations under the international law. But this is the first point, that what they have committed is totally against the international law and the charter of the United Nations. The second point is that the supreme leader actually simultaneously was a religious, respected religious leader for tens of millions of Muslims around the world, not only in the region. And absolutely, this will have its own consequences, you know. But he was very respectful among the Muslims, and what these two regimes have done through the martyrdom of the supreme leader absolutely will have the reaction of the Muslims around the world, those that actually paying respect to the supreme leader. This is the second point. The third point actually is that, as we have said it before, the Islamic Republic of Iran is a well-established country. We have our own structures under the Constitution, and everything has been set forth under the provisions of the Constitution. Iran is not a one-man country that actually, if any incident happens to one of the officials of the country, actually, the system can compensate the situation. And you have seen also that's a very big loss for us. You know that I do not want to undermine the situation, but that's a very big loss that we are mourning for these laws, actually. But by the way, you have been noticed that immediately after the martyrdom of the Supreme Leader, the Provisional Council of the Leadership has been established with the participation of the President, Chief of the Judiciary, and one of the members of the Council of the Guardians. And now they are monitoring the situation, and in accordance with the Constitution, they are making the necessary decisions. The cabinet also is active, and every ministry is doing its own responsibility. And also, the next step regarding the appointment of the new leadership actually is being done by the Council of the Experts. So we have everything under the Constitution, so there is no room for worriness in this regard. But the Israeli regime and the United States will pay a very, very heavy cost for this heinous act of assassination.
Does killing him turn this into a religious war?
As I have said, the Supreme Leader was also a respected religious leader for more than tens of millions of the Muslims. I cannot talk on their behalf that what would be their reactions in this regard. Let's wait and see.
President Trump is indicating that he's ready for talks with your government. Are you willing to talk to the Americans?
We have been in the middle of negotiations for the second time that actually they have destroyed diplomacy. You know that we have been in the middle of negotiations, and the negotiations were actually on the verge of succeed, you know. They have betrayed diplomacy. This was not the first time. That was for the second time that they have betrayed the diplomacy. And it shows not only to Iran, but also to the international community that they were not seeking diplomacy. So possibly they were seeking for other plots against the Islamic Republic of Iran. We have been honest in the negotiations, and we have our own actually initiatives during the negotiations. But the United States again betrayed diplomacy. So this is what I can say regarding the approach of the United States toward diplomacy. Who can advise Iran actually again to go for negotiations with the United States? Now the priority for the Islamic Republic of Iran and its own nation is to defend the country decisively. Now we are focusing only to defend the country. We are in a war. And actually, what we are thinking and what we are focusing is only to defend the country. And as it was said by the Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council, now we are defending. Still, we have not entered into aggression.
But you're...
And also into aggressive approach toward the enemies and adversaries.
Do you have any outcome in mind? Do you have a mission? Is there something that will cause you to stop your missile attacks on the Gulf states at this point?
You know, we are not attacking the neighboring countries in the Persian Gulf. Let me use the correct term. That's the Persian Gulf region. We are not attacking our neighboring countries. This is not a war against our own neighbors. We have repeated it several times, actually. So this is very important. We have said from the beginning that actually we have witnessed was an aggression. They have used their own bases, specifically the United States, in the countries around Iran and the neighboring countries. So we have warned in advance that if they use their own bases and if they attack Iran, their bases, their interests would be posed to attack by the Islamic Republic of Iran. So we are attacking the enemies of the Islamic Republic of Iran, namely the United States of America. We are not attacking our own neighboring countries. We have always had very good relations and constructive relations with the neighboring countries, and we like to continue to do so. We have made it very clear to the countries in the region. Minister Araghchi also talked almost to all its counterparts in the neighboring countries and made this point very clear to them. You know, we are at war, actually. We cannot stay idle while our people are being martyred by those enemies of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We have no other option rather than to attack the interests of the United States whenever actually we can reach those interests and also the basis of the United States in the region.
I understand last night UK, the British changed their minds and decided they will now use, that the United States can now use its territory against your country. What do you make of that decision by the British?
They have not been in compliance with their own obligations. When it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran, we had the JCPOA in place and they have never implemented their own obligations. They have never respected international law, unfortunately. But by the way, responding to your question regarding the recent remarks by the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, our advice to them is to respect international law. This is a war imposed war by Zionist regime and by the United States against the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is not a war between Iran and the European countries. This is not a war between Iran and the United Kingdom. Our recommendation to them is actually not to drag themselves in this war, actually. If they provide their facilities and their bases, it means that they are sharing this aggression against the Islamic Republic of Iran, and our response would be very clear.
What is your expectation of Russia and China specifically among the leaders in the BRICS countries, so to speak? They have already said they are supporting Iran, but what is your expectation of them? And what conversations have you had with them?
We have strategic relations with China and Russia. We have always had constructive and good relations with these two countries, almost in all fields. China and Russia were among the first countries that they have condemned this act of aggression against the Islamic Republic of Iran and called for stopping the aggression in accordance with the provisions of international law and charter of the United Nations. We are in close contact with these two countries. Our foreign minister actually had a phone conversation with his counterpart from Russian Federation. And today also he was supposed to have a phone conversation with his Chinese counterpart. We are consulting with each other regarding this act of aggression.
The countries in the Persian Gulf region are in a difficult situation. Their governments are not necessarily with you, but their people are. What conversations have you had with governments of the Persian Gulf nations? And I'm specifically wondering if you're having talks now with the Saudis.
We had also good relations with the countries in the region, in the Persian Gulf region, including with Saudi Arabia. You know, still we have our own consultations and also contacts with the countries in the region. The most important point that we are making clear to them is that what we are responding to the act of aggression is not actually an attack against the countries in the region. So this is the most important point that we are making clear to them. Regarding the nation of the region, so this is their own decision. So you know that we are interfering in the decisions of the people around the world, you know. Whatever they want to do is not in our hands. But when it comes to the countries in the region, that's our responsibility to keep close contacts with them, to control the situation, and also to make it very clear to them that what is the nature of our response towards the Zionist regime and also the United States of America. So it's very clear that if they are using the territory and the bases of the countries in the region, and if their military forces are present, you know, in those countries, so they are going to be as good targets for our armed forces.
Specifically the Saudis, I'm wondering, because you have had a off and on again relationship with the Saudis. More recently, I know that your colleague, Minister Arachi, had conversations with the Saudis. Have those conversations continued?
Yes, the contacts are continued, you know, between Iran and the countries in the region, including the Saudi Arabia. And Minister Arachi is in close contact with his counterparts, including his counterpart in the Saudi Arabia.
That's interesting and important to know. Let me ask about your leadership. According to the Israelis, they have taken out a very significant portion of the leadership of your country. They name something like 20 different people, all high ranking. How are you, as a nation, going to be able to fill those positions and continue at this crucial time for your country without those individuals?
This is not the first time that the Islamic Republic of Iran is facing aggression or this kind of crisis. We have 8 years imposed war with Saddam regime. We have lost very important people. We have lost very lives. But actually, the system could control the situation. And if we lose anybody, yes, that would be a big loss for the Islamic Republic of Iran, like the loss of the supreme leadership and also the high ranking, specifically the military officials in this regard. It's a big loss, but actually the system is in a situation to replace them. And it was done just recently after the martyrdom of some commanders, military commanders, so they have been replaced immediately. We are at war. Iran is a very large community, and after 47 years of revolution, we could train officials in every field, in military, in political, in cultural, in economic. Yes, that's, again, I will put emphasize, that's a big loss. But by the way, it's not for us a very big crisis that we cannot compensate or replace the people that are martyred. Yeah, we are replacing them. And now this is what the system is doing. Everything is under control. As I have said, the Provisional Council of the Leadership has been established immediately and is making the necessary decision. For example, one of the important decisions that they made was the appointment of the new commander-in-chief of the IRGC, the Islamic Republic of Iran Guard Forces.
Are you prepared? Is your government ready? Is your military ready? Are your people ready and willing for what could turn into a prolonged war, something that goes for months and months, possibly even past a year. Are you mentally prepared for this? And is your government, your people, your military, and do you have the resources to do that?
We have been involved for 8 years with Saddam regime, and that was not a war only between Iran and the Saddam regime. So that was a war that have been supported by several European, Western European countries, and also even the United States. All of them, they have supported the Saddam regime. So Saddam was not alone in the war. So that war took about 8 years, you know, and we have resisted decisively. And we could defeat the enemy. When it comes to the new war, actually, the Islamic Republic of Iran is ready to actually to defend the country as long as it is necessary. Ask the Americans and the Israeli regime whether they are ready to continue such a war, whether they are ready for its huge consequences, not only the consequences for the region, but also beyond the region. You know that when Iranians are facing a war, the people, the nation are get united. They cannot tolerate actually to see their own country is being at war and also is being aggressed. So this is very important. Also, they have some problems at the economic level for the social welfare issues. But by the way, the war and the aggression is not an issue that can separate them from the system and supporting the system. So they have always supported the system and they get united. And I'm quite confident that this time also the nation is well ready actually to defend the country and to stay against any plot against the Islamic Republic of Iran.
It sounds like you're saying that you will continue to retaliate as long as you are being attacked. As long as you're attacked, you will continue to attack as well. Is that, can I read that correctly? Is that what you're saying?
What we are doing is actually self-defense under the provisions of the Charter of the United Nations. Now we are defending ourselves legitimately. So as it was said several times by the high-ranking officials of the Islamic Republic of Iran, possibly the enemies like the Zionist regime and the U.S., can start a war against Iran, but the end of the war is not in their own hands. So Iran will put an end to the war, actually. So this is what the Islamic Republic of Iran would make the final decision in this regard.
Why do you think you were attacked? We hear so many stories that you had nuclear weapons, that you weren't willing to give up any of the enrichment, that you guys simply have not knuckled under like other countries in the Middle East to the whims and needs of both Mr. Netanyahu, the United States, and the administrative state in the United States, that it's because you have a lot of oil and the United States simply wants that oil. There are probably seven great stories out there about why this happened, and there are as many experts who are sharing those stories. I'd like to hear from you. Why do you think your country was attacked?
So the issue of the nuclear dossier is only a pretext for the Americans. This is almost more than three decades that the Zionist regime and also the U.S. are talking regarding fantasy nuclear bomb of Iran. And this is ridiculous that these two regimes are the regimes that they themselves have nuclear weapons, specifically the Zionist regime that is not a member to any disarmament or arms control treaty like the NPT. So they are talking regarding fantasy nuclear bomb of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Our nuclear program has never been diverted to non-peaceful purposes. It has always been under rigid surveillance and monitoring of the agency, and no diversion to non-peaceful purposes have been recognized by the International Atomic Energy Agency. This is by sure. So if, for example, the president of the United States says that Iran is very close to make a nuclear bomb, this is a big lie. no actually international body, namely the IAEA, has proved such a claim. So this is the first issue. The second issue is that the president of the U.S. claimed that Iranians targeted the Americans and they have killed the Americans. This is, again, the second big lie. We have never been an enemy to the United States and the people of the United States, the American people. We have never waged a war against the Americans. We have never been as a threat to the Americans. You know, you see that ever, always Americans have been very close to Iran. They have been in the in their own military bases around Iran. They have always threatened the Islamic Republic of Iran to attack, and they have always supported the Israeli regime in its acts against the Islamic Republic of Iran. So Iran has never been a threat to the U.S., but the U.S. has always been a threat to the Iranians. This is the second issue that the international public opinion should pay attention to it. The third point actually is that the Islamic Republic of Iran is an independent country. Look at the history. Look at what has happened before the Islamic, what was the situation before the Islamic Revolution, before 1979. Iran was a country in the hands of the Americans. You know, they had control on everything, on decision-making process, on the policies, and also on the resources, like the oil and gas that you named, you know. So after the revolution, they have lost everything. So that was a decision that was made by Iranian people. So we had a new system, the revolutionary system. We had a new constitution, and we decided to be independent, not to be dependent to the East, not to be dependent to the West. So this is what they cannot tolerate. You know, they wish to come back again to control everything in Iran. But this is only an illusion or dream for them. You know, this wouldn't be materialized, actually. So they cannot again to Iran to have the control on Iranian resources and the policies. This is only an illusion for the Americans, you know. The fourth point actually is after some events in the region, like what has happened to Lebanon, actually what has happened to Syria, the Zionist regime and the Americans thought that possibly Iran also is a very easy target for them, you know. So they have experienced it in the 12 days war, and they have been defeated. After 12 days, they were the regimes that they have requested for a ceasefire. And now they made a big mistake, actually, that they have waged a war again. So Iran is not an easy target for the United States. We are a huge country. Our people are well determined to support and to defend their own country and to support the system. And absolutely, we will inflict very painful and heavy strikes against these two regimes.
Wow. So you're saying it's your independence that's causing the United States to hit you in this case. Final question, only because it's the one thing you
didn't. I cannot hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now? One more time. Test, test. Can you hear me? One, two,
yes.
Three. Okay. Final question.
Yes.
What I
yes,
didn't
please.
Hear you address was Israel. So let me just ask you flat out what a lot of people are saying, even in the United States. Do you believe the United States attacked you at the behest of Israel, or even upon the orders of Israel? That it's Israel that's really behind this, not the United States.
It doesn't make a big difference for Iran. They jointly actually waged a war against the Islamic Republic of Iran. And for Iran and the Iranians and for the international community, these two regimes are aggressors. These two regimes are violators of international law and charter of the United Nations. So whether the Israelis actually drag the legs of the Americans in this war, so that's an issue that should be investigated at the domestic level by the politicians and policy-making organs of the United States, that whether they have sacrificed their own interests and national security for the interests of the Israelis or not. So this is an issue that they themselves should discuss it. But for us, actually, the issue is that these two regimes are aggressors, and we will deal with these two aggressors.
Mr. Deputy Foreign Minister, you've been very kind with your time. Thank you so much, sir, for taking us through this. We apologize for some of the audio difficulties that we have, but I guess that's understandable given the situation around you right now in Tehran. Our condolences to you and anybody who has been affected by this situation. And once again, my thanks to you for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. You've been listening to our conversation with the Deputy Foreign Minister for Legal and International Affairs of Iran. He works with Foreign Minister Arachi, who, as you know, I was recently in Iran having conversations with. The situation now turns to just how long will this continue to escalate into an even larger regional war. I think by my count, there are at least 13, 14 different countries that are involved now. Overnight, Jordan became involved. The UK essentially became involved by saying they're now going to allow the United States to use their territories to hit Iran. That becomes a very, very important part of this story. And I did not, and maybe you got a different read, I did not get any sense from my conversation with the Deputy Foreign Minister that Iran has any plans to relent anytime soon. So it becomes a battle of how many other countries will get involved in this conflagration that we're seeing right now. And then it becomes, from a military standpoint, a question of how many ballistic missiles do you have and how many can you spend at any given time before you start running short, which is the question that's being asked now, not only of Iran, but of the United States itself. So these are some of the things that we're going to be following. He wasn't clear on the question of the Strait of Hormuz. It seemed to me like what he was saying to us was, yes, we're doing what has to be done in the Strait of Hormuz, but it's not our fault. It's the war that's causing the Strait of Hormuz to get plugged or stopped, because it obviously is right now. We've been looking at the maps of that. The question is Iran fundamentally making a decision to make sure that the shipping lanes are stopped or blocked off in that 30-mile channel that we call the Strait of Hormuz, which is obviously, it's easy for it to happen. It looks like, for right now at least, there's some kind of stoppage in that area, even if not a complete stoppage. But he says they're not making that decision to do that. We're going to stay with this story. Obviously, we'll be back at 5:30 time here in Moscow to bring you the very latest information on the Sanchez effect. And we'll be running this throughout the course of the day, as well as on our socials. You can be sure to see it as well. I'm Rick Sanchez. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be on top of this story. Should anything change, we'll break in right away. And we'll be looking for you next time.